Blog Talk Radio. Author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, before we start, a couple of little announcements. I just informed Nicole that next week, we're not having a radio show because I will be at the opening night of the Hampton Film Festival. TJ, who's my fiancé, was also invited because he is a reporter for Dan's paper. So we love this event because there's always celebrities and it's really a lot of fun. So I'll be covering that. Also, Nicole, I think you know that I was renominated again for the Best Psychic 2011 by the Long Island Press. But
yes,
I have been able to talk to you, and I was a little upset by their new voting procedures, and I almost asked to have my name removed from the ballot, and I'll tell you why. Last year is probably the last year that it was a legitimate vote because it was basically one man, one woman, one vote, you know, the Democratic way. Of course, you could vote, you know, once from your iPhone and once from your home computer, maybe once from your work computer, one from your lap computer, you know, your laptop, but that was still one person voting four times. They've now changed it, and I was shocked. It's you can vote every single day for 75 days. One person can vote 75 times. And that
wow.
means you can vote 75 times from your laptop, from your work computer, from your home. And I thought, you don't have to be the best of anything now. You just have to have friends with a lot of computers that are willing to sit there and vote all day. And you know, I got a little upset because I thought I'm not the kind of person. I really hate even asking my clients to vote once. I'm like, you know, it takes time to vote, you know. And now I'm going to have to ask them to vote more. And I just really didn't want to do that. But, you know, after talking to some of my other clients who said, you know, we've nominated you. We won it. Why don't you just put it out there. Those people who have time to vote will vote more. Those people that don't, won't. But if you withdraw your name, you're just leaving more people who might really be more unethical and want to just keep voting 10,000 times up there without any competition. So anyway, that's what's going on. I don't know how you would feel about that, Nicole. What do you think about what I'm telling you?
No, I think that it's you know, extremely unfair. I mean, of course, you know, whenever you want to support, you know, a particular person, it would be nice if you, you know, could vote a number of times. I mean, it's a natural reaction to things, but at the same time, no, it's incredibly unfair to the people that are being nominated, and it's not really a true, I don't know, it's not really a true competition at that point, you know?
And
I mean, it's kind of like, it's just...
You don't even have to have any clients.
I don't even have words.
You don't even have to have any clients. You just have a lot of friends that'll vote, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I've decided to just, you know, I lost sleep over this, mind you, meditating on whether I should do this, not do this, and I got a migraine over it. And, you know, I have a dear friend, Marjorie, and I, of course, me, the psychic, who everybody turns to for advice, I have to ask my best friend. And, you know, Marjorie's like, are you getting a migraine over this? Just like, leave it be. You know, those clients that don't mind voting and have time will, dozens won't, and leave it where it is and just let it go. So that's what I'm doing. So that was my little dilemma this week. So that's, I guess, passing. Anyway, we have a lot of clients tonight, and, Nicole, I know we can't screen the first one.
Yep, so we're just going to hop straight over to the 505 area code and see what's waiting for us.
Okay, good. Hello?
Yes, good
Hello,
evening.
You're on the air.
Good evening. Hi.
Hi, this is Cindy. Who is this?
My name is Marie.
Okay, Marie.
Hi. I just wanted to know, I've been, I had this kind of on and on, again, off in relationship with a person. Actually, I haven't met, but we've had really intense kind of situation going on since 2005 online. And I just wanted to know if I was going to see or meet him in the physical realm.
Okay, now you've come to the right radio station. This is one of my favorite topics. What state are you calling from, by the way? Because my clients
New Mexico.
Okay, New Mexico. Okay. You know, I call this sort of internet stuff creating like sort of internet monster men in some ways because, you know, and women too, because they go online and they're not always who they say they are. And, you know, now that my father passed away last January, I'll share this because it's kind of funny. Since he was like 85 years old and he died at 89, he would go online into chat rooms and pretend he's like 30 years old and, you know, talk to these women online and, you know, pretty much be not who he says he was. And sometimes when we're talking to people online, they're not even who they say they are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they're already married and committed and they really have no intention of meeting us. Have you ever Googled this man? Do you know his real name or anything?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever Googled to find out who he is?
Well, I know him. He's a writer, and you know we've communicated back and forth. My sense is he says who he is. It's a little bit more. It has a little more. Situations more than just I think his identity or some other things are going on with him. And so it's
and it's sort of a commitment phobia. I mean, relationships work in 5-year cycles, and so now
right.
You've been 5 years now. At this point, it's sort of like loving a dead man because you know he has no body here with you. You may have part of his heart, part of his soul, part of his mind,
mm-hmm.
but you know true love does kind of demand having the body in the same room. And at this point. You know, you might have been a commitment phobic yourself. You know, maybe this was a relationship that sort of got you into, like, liking the idea of having somebody, but not really putting yourself all the way out there either. But are you getting ready now to want a relationship that sort of heart, soul, mind, body?
I was a single parent. I had issues, you know, with my son and everything. Well, now he's 18, and so now I'm more open to, you know, pursue full, you know, relationship like I hadn't before.
And where does he live, by the way?
My son?
No, you're the person you talk to online.
He is in the UK.
In the UK?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at this point, you know, this relationship probably served a very good purpose for 5 years. Like you said, you had your son, and maybe you were healing from, you know, you probably were healing. Look, from these cards, looks like you were healing from a relationship that wasn't all that great. And now it's, can't you go see him in the UK? Have you said you'll go fly and see him?
Yes, now my son is older and he's, you know, going to college and things like that, I'm a little bit more open to, like I say, travel. Before, it's like, oh, my son, I can't do this, I can't do, you know, that kind of thing. But so now, and he knew that, you know, and so now I just was wondering if it's something, it's always been interesting, and I've always been, wondered, and I thought, well, if I don't do it now, you know, I'm going to get it done, you know.
Right,
so
and
I just wanted to know
it's actually a good time to do it because, you know, you may meet him and there may not be the chemistry or the whatever between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it does look like this is, you will have the money to travel,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's a good thing. Have you told him you want to come see him?
Well, yeah, he was thinking, he would come here, you know, we were kind of like all back and forth, like, you know, but my son was like, my son was concerned, well, you've never been, you never did this before. He thought I was kind of wild, but I thought, you know, I thought, well, you know, hey, you know, I don't feel, I usually have a feelings about certain people, you know, if they're, you know, real or not. I'm pretty intuitive about situations. So I thought, well, you know, I'm ready and, I got my passport.
All right, because it looks like at this point, you know, going to visit England and would be wonderful anyway, but, you know, I would advise you to move it forward because at this point, if he's not going to be someone that you're going to really be able to have a future with, it's really keeping you, giving you the illusion of a relationship without really having one.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's time to let go of the illusion and, you know, make space for someone else to come into your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely have to move this forward. Nicole, do you agree with that?
Absolutely, I do.
Yeah, and
you know, I mean, there's situations that you know that just linger about that you don't realize it at the time, but can be definite blocks for you. I mean, they block you know just a certain chi energy that you have. They block other opportunities from coming in, and you really see no harm in these things because they're just part of your daily routine. But are in fact blocks, you know. And sometimes all you need to do is remove those blinders and remove those blocks, and you can get a lot more than you ever thought you could.
Right, and I need to warn you that if you really come up with a, you know, tell him a date, and I would advise you to come up with a date.
Oh, I have.
He may pull away from you. You have told him a date?
I told him a date, but I think, yeah, you said pull away, and that's what I was concerned with, so I just wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what I'm seeing here. I'm seeing you may not hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
Because there seems to be a couple of reasons why he doesn't want you to meet him. And
mm-hmm.
so that's why if he, you know, then, you know, a month later surfaces, you know, a month, you know, 3 weeks after the date you said you were going to come visit him, he resurfaces, I would advise you to tell him, you know, this is not healthy anymore and
mm-hmm.
let him go because...
Mm-hmm.
That's a real sign that he's not who he says he is. He has no, you know, really intention of ever meeting you. He thought it never would come to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better to know now so you can, you know, move your life forward.
Okay.
Because he really does look like he may run and hide right now. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm seeing here. And, you know, I hate to be the bearer of that bad news, but it's not necessarily bad news because is his service its purpose and maybe it's just time to bless it and let it go?
Uh-huh.
But I would love if you would call us back and tell us what happens.
I will. I mean,
we love to hear this. And you can have some fun about it because if he doesn't want to meet you, if he keeps stalling another 3 weeks, another month, it'll come next year. I
mm-hmm.
think there's a point where you're going to realize it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know.
Gotcha.
Well, good luck to you, and please let
okay,
us know
well,
what happens.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Good.
She's so lovely. Who wouldn't want to meet her?
Aww.
You know, really. So I know
absolutely.
We have like a gazillion caller sites. It's almost scary. Okay. Nicole, did you screen someone?
Yes, of course I did. We're actually going to shoot over to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Cindy, we are going to talk to Cindy.
Oh.
Okay. Yes. And actually, you know, it's not like an O because unfortunately she, you know, she's overcoming a little bit of a situation. Her ex-husband left after knowing somebody over the internet for only 2 months.
The monster man, uh-huh, yeah.
You know, and basically she started dating somebody and her heart just really isn't in it because, you know, she just doesn't know if coming back or not, you know, so she just wants to know what you see, whether or not, you know, the ex is going to come back or whether or not she should just move on. So
okay.
We're shooting over to Cindy in Philadelphia. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Nicole.
I didn't know Cindy was such a common name. I live in a complex where there's like 7 apartments and there's 3 Cindys, so that's
okay,
pretty funny.
Really.
That's
well, I'm
funny.
Really Cynthia, but...
Oh, you're lucky. No, I'm just Cindy. What
uh-huh.
I'm seeing here is that you asked about your ex if you were coming back.
Yeah.
He's the crazy
yeah.
man who doesn't change, by the way. So... Be sure, you know, you get, you know, sometimes God punishes us. He gives us what we wish for.
Right.
If this man looks like he might resurface, but, again, in his resurfacing, can you trust him? That's a real issue here. And it does look like you were pretty shocked by what happened.
Oh, Cindy, it was horrible. My father passed away,
and I was taking care of him right before he passed. And while I was taking care of him at my parents' house, my ex-husband was on the internet. He met a woman, and within 2 months, he told me he wanted a divorce after 17 years. We never had an argument. We went everywhere together. And 2 weeks before he told me that, he gave me 2 dozen roses and the most beautiful card, telling me how much he loved me and could, you know, was happy to stand by me during my loss. And he came home one day and said, "I can't do this anymore."
And
I was totally shocked.
And I need to tell you, you're an older soul, Cindy, which means there are two kinds of older souls on the planet right now: the manipulators, who lie a lot, and
right.
the good to the fault, who don't see evil and don't even realize they're being lied right to their face. I need to tell you that that relationship was going on longer than your husband told you.
Okay.
And I need to also tell you, it's a good thing the jig came up right around when your father died, because your father would have definitely been channeling you to go check your husband's emails and cell phone, you know, and everything, because your father was pretty livid when he died. And, you know, dead people are like a camera. They see what's going on. He wasn't happy. The only reason this man told you, and he brought the flowers, and your dad's telling me what happened, was that this woman was threatening to call you. And what your husband was trying to do, he wasn't sure whether he wanted to go with her, stay with you, what he wanted to do. And so he brought you the flowers, kind of put that, like, dazzle in your eyes that everything's okay. And because he was lying to her for a long time, telling him that things weren't good with you, that he was going to divorce you, he was just waiting till your father died, he can't do that to you now, it's not fair, it's not nice. He was telling her one thing. And what happened was she was going to call you and tell you the whole thing. So he only told you part of the truth, a little bit of the truth. If you only think he was only having this affair for a little bit of time, and he came right honest with you because he's such a nice guy, that if you wanted to walk back in the door, you don't know the whole truth. And what your dad wanted you to call here for is to know the whole truth, that this man only came clean because she was going to call and he was going to lose her and you. This way, he knew once she called, you weren't going to tolerate this. So she really got him to come his way. And you might not understand immediately why I'm saying this, but this woman turns out to be a woman you could one day say was your best friend, because her husband was never what he appeared to be.
Okay.
And he's been a person who has taken advantage of your being a trusting person.
Yeah.
And, you know, your dad saying you... He can gift you with one person to love. He can bring you a soulmate. That's what people can do when they die. They can gift us with a soulmate. He wants you to bring a real soulmate to you. But you do need this period of time to stand on your own 2 feet without a man.
Okay.
And kind of feel like, I don't need a man to survive. And you will go in this time with your eyes wide open. Your father was very fooled by your husband as well. You know, your husband was pretty good at fooling everybody. These are the most dangerous of the narcissists because they fool everybody. I mean, it's like these are the Hitlers. You know, nobody saw what Hitler was up to till it was too late.
Right. And everybody loved him. I mean, my mother and father both loved him like a son.
And you don't. And this was very painful for your father. And your father really guided you to this phone call because he's saying this man is never going to change. He's just going, if he comes back, he'll tell you everything you want to hear. As soon as your guard is down, he'll be back to his behaviors, because he's really, you know, that kind of a person. And, you know, for you, just give it a little time, because it really looks good here for you. And I know this is a hard period of time, and your dad's saying, you know, your dad would have wanted to protect you from things, because he's a nice man, okay? This is a nice man, your dad, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And
he says
he hates telling his baby daughter this, like, and he's so affectionate to you. He wishes he could tell you, oh, no, he's coming back and he's this wonderful guy and he made a mistake, but that's not the truth. Your father is saying to you, let me bring you a good man now, one who really is who he says he is.
Well, I just was wondering about that because I reconnected with somebody I knew in high school who has been so good to me and so very, very nice and is letting me heal and take my time and doesn't push the relationship. And told me he felt guided to me so that we could help each other heal.
That's right. And he could be a transition soulmate, which means
he's
not all soulmates are meant to last forever.
Yeah,
he may be the one that you trust and helps you get back into the world, and that serves its purpose, or he could be a long-term one. I would advise you to just enjoy that he's here.
Yeah. Okay.
And heal. And it's helping you trust people again, because that's important. And not to concern yourself or that he's the one right now, but he's a good person to have in your life.
Yes.
And, you know, have you actually been dating him, or is it just a friendship?
It started out as a friendship, and then we started dating. But, I mean, I'm taking it very – it's been close to 8 months now, and I'm taking it very slow.
Okay, and that's good. But, again, your dad does like the person that you're seeing now. And just your father is really sorry. But he is saying you were already mourning him, so you could mourn the death of your marriage at the same time, get it all over with. And
That's true. It shocked me from the death of my father. It brought me right out of mourning my father into mourning my marriage. So that's very true.
And your father's saying it's more than coincidence this all came down, because when your dad, and anyone out there listening, this is an important, piece of information. When people are dying, especially long, drawn-out deaths, they're getting a lot of life review. And they're getting a lot of guidance. They're speaking to dead loved ones, their parents, other people. And your father was getting a pretty good idea of what was going on before he even died. And so when he died and the whole picture was revealed to him even more, he realized the wisdom of God in this. Let her mourn all at once and move on.
Okay.
And just about now is a wonderful 5-year period going to open up. And there's a really nice man here in the cards, whether it's the one you're dating or another one. It's hard to tell right now, but you're going to be happy again.
Oh,
so that's what your dad's saying.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks so much for sharing your story with us. You're very brave to share this with us, but you're not alone. I mean, there's a lot of people, in these same situations, and it's better to know and get it over with and, than to be deceived forever.
Yes, I agree.
Good luck to you, and please, again, call us in the future and let us know what's happening with you.
I will. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nicole, we've heard some of the same stories before, huh?
Oh, yes.
Frightening.
And you know what? It's frightening, but at the same time, I think it probably makes people feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because then, when they can't get through, they know that they're not alone.
Exactly.
So I think it's at some point it's a little comforting.
Wow. Now, I see we have a lot of callers. Did you screen?
Oh, we totally do. We're going to cruise over to Tasha in California, who has been single for 2 years, and she'd like to know if you see a relationship on her horizon.
Wow. Good question.
I love those questions. Hello,
yeah,
Tasha. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Just you're asking the question. In the laws of attraction tells the universe you're looking for love. I see, you've been involved in a relationship that wasn't all that great. But now you need a little bit of courage to get back, into this world again, in the dating world. There's a grandfather who passed away that watches over you. Do you remember one of your grandfathers?
When I was very young.
Yeah, when you were little, because he's the one telling me when you were little you had a lot of courage.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a little bit of that courage now. It definitely shows that you're finally really ready to let a relationship in. Are you doing anything to meet anybody?
Yeah, I do a lot of things. I work, I go to school, I'm really involved in my church, and I'm starting my own business, so I get out there a lot.
Good. And this time, how you had a relationship that was how long that ended?
It was 17 years.
Yeah, because this is a long-term relationship here. How long have you been now separated or not with that person?
2 years.
Okay, because relationships tend to sort of work in these five-year cycles, and now that you're going to hit like a 20-year mark coming up, are you really ready? Have you let go of the past now?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's important.
And me and my ex are still friends, too. I mean, we can both laugh about it now.
Okay, good. So that's what I call, and, you know, divorce without drama or trauma, or ending relationships without all the drama. And once you're no longer soulmate lovers, you can go over to the soulmate friend ladder. It's a different ladder of love. Once you've sort of healed the issues and, you know, realized it wasn't going to work forever. I see a really nice man coming, and it's probably linked to the business that you're doing. So, you know, just go about your life, because I want to see what the next few months hold for you. Have you dated at all since the breakup?
No. Because I don't want, I hang out with guys and I have friends, but as far as being physical with anyone, I don't, because I don't want to form any attachments to someone too soon.
Okay. Well, now there is a soulmate card came up, and in the next, this is a very good 10-year period opening up for you, by the way, not just 5 years, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much anything you want is yours. There is a younger man who passed away who wants to talk to you. Do you know who that is?
No.
Probably was, knew your ex and you, both of you. You'll probably think about it later, but this is a person who's telling me that you're a nice person, and this is really a big change going to happen in your life now. So it's a soulmate. It's someone you're going to really love, heart, soul, mind, and body. It's coming pretty soon. It's almost when you say, I'm ready. So are you ready now? Because, you know, the universe sort of needs to hear you say that before they're going to bring him on, because they don't want to bring a soulmate, and then you're running in the other direction.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, good, because this is a really, really nice person. He makes money. He's a very supportive person, kind, and don't listen too much to negativity of people saying things about relationships. You try to stay near more positive people,
mm-hmm.
because this is happening, and it's a really happy picture here for you. So I definitely see that coming any day now. So keep your eyes opened. Have you written down what your ideal soulmate would be like?
I did. I wrote it down a while ago and then just kind of put it away.
Okay, read it again and add some new things, because, you know, you've changed a lot in the last 2 years. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
You've grown as a person. You're strong. You can stand on your own two feet. And this is really, you have like one of the best rounds of cards I've seen in a long time, because every time I shuffle them up comes that soulmate, and a really happy life ahead for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to just let it in, but not to have too much fear, because there's a little bit of fear here in the pictures, like just worry. And, you know, when we get out in the real world, it's scary. What if I like somebody, he doesn't call me? What if he rejects me? What if this? What if this? We all have to stop what-ifing it and just get in there and, you know, love without fear of outcome and enjoy it, because this is a really nice 10-year period for you. You deserve it. You've earned it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Well, good luck to you.
Thanks.
Okay, Nicole, what state, what place, where are we? Are we on Earth?
We are cruising out to the very hot, and I believe it's very dry over there as well, Arizona. We're going to speak to Christina. And Christina, basically, she would like to know, this is kind of complicated. Her dad has passed. And about 3 months ago, she had gotten out of a relationship. She knows the purpose of this relationship. And basically, she wants to know if her dad was involved in that in any way, shape, or form. It's like a message from him type of thing. And she would also like to know if she's ever going to speak to this guy again. Okay, because she doesn't know if, you know, she kind of gets that she will speak to him again, but she's not sure if that's her ego talking or if that's really what she's getting.
Boy, she's a smart lady. She's really,
oh,
I love people
really
that say
is.
They understand why they brought that relationship.
Like, I understand, as soon as she said I understand the purpose of the relationship, I'm like, ah.
She's, she's great. Could she do the show for us? Because, I mean,
you know what? Hey.
She's got it.
So, yeah, I think so. So we're going to cruise over to Arizona and meet Christina.
Hi,
Christina.
Hello. Hi, Christina. You know, you were very smart to know your dad had his hand in this one.
It didn't come overnight. I was in an abusive relationship, a marriage for 10 years, and needless to say, I've always had issues with male relationships. My dad and I didn't get along, and he died a long time ago, but I did get into a relationship, and it was for 3 years. Back in June, I did break up with him. Not for the reasons that I thought I did break up with him, but I know that what the purpose of that relationship was to find who I was, find why I'm picking the men that I am, and it could help me grow. I'm not the same person I was 3 years ago, and I know that he's not the one my soulmate in purposes as far as to spend the rest of my life with. However, I don't think that the journey, the lesson, is completely done. When he wanted to talk to me after we broke up, like 2 weeks, I didn't want to talk to him. I was upset that he had already started seeing somebody else and whatnot. Needless to say, emotions were involved. I think I'm there, but am I fooling myself or am I right on the right direction?
You're on the right direction. He, again, is, you know, you keep getting involved with these sort of princes that become the beast. You know, they start out looking good and then their colors start to be shown. Your dad, you know, is a man who was in a fairly low realm of heaven. Let me explain what that means. Heaven is like a ladder. There's different levels. And the lower realms are pretty hell-like. You get to see all the pain that your behaviors caused. And for a while, you can't do much to help it because you didn't do much on Earth. But your father's since moved up a notch or two higher. He gets it, okay? He knows his abuse sort of started a cycle of abuse. But it appears you've begun to forgive your dad. The problem is, have you forgiven your mom for picking him?
Well, I didn't realize that my mom had so much involvement into this relationship.
That's what this is about. That's about this time. What we don't understand is we sit in judgment of our parents when we're little, saying, oh, God, if I were married, I'd know how to fix him. If I were married, he'd never talk to me that way. He'd never be abusive. And later on we say, if I would never have married him in the first place. But think about you have become your mother. You keep getting involved with these men who look nice at first, and then they turn out to be the beast. Did it ever occur to you that your dad never showed your mother all his colors in the beginning?
Yeah, and what I saw is, like, in this relationship, I was my mom because I couldn't understand how she loved him so much and what it felt to be cheated on and what everything that happened to her happened to me in this relationship.
And that's because you judged her. You were that little three-year-old going, if I were married, my husband would never cheat on me because I'd be so lovey-dovey-dovey. If I were married, he'd never do this or I would know how to fix him so he'd stop. Pretty much, can you understand that we can't fix people and we can't change them? Can you understand that your mom loved him because this relationship, that your mom and dad didn't start out toxic. They started out as soulmates, and let me explain what that means. We have about 30 soulmates on the planet at any one time, but God doesn't bring two at the same time because that would make chaos. But only 45% of the world population is healed enough to even be offered a soulmate. And it doesn't mean you have to be greatly healed. It means you have a little thought that says, boy, I'd like to have a happy relationship. Or you watch a movie and you say, boy, I want that kind of relationship. And the universe says, okay, we can give wake-up calls in many forms. I could give you cancer. You can win the lotto. How about if I give you soulmate love? Let's see what you do with it. But only 5% of the population can keep soulmate love because they don't heal their issues. They don't heal their addictions. They don't heal their sex addictions. They don't heal their alcoholism, you know, or their rageaholic. And so your mom loved him because it started out as soulmate, but your dad couldn't heal his addictions and his meanness and his behavior, and it dragged it down to toxic love, What your mom did wrong was, you know, tolerating it too much. And did she ever divorce this man?
No, when she was finally going to leave him, he got sick.
Okay, and then she stayed until he died?
Yes, and meanwhile, me and my little brother were still at home, and I was very resentful. And
my dad went
to his grave with me mad.
Right, and it would have been better off if she had left him, because that would have shown you don't take toxic love. But they were sort of till death do us part, and pretty much the universe was kind of kind to your mother because she really believed in that till death do us part. So I think this was probably easier for her. But it didn't show you good things. It showed you that soulmates are allowed to become toxic and we have to take their crap. What we really want to show is if you can't bring this love back up to soulmate by healing your issues, going for therapy, going to a 12-step program, you know, controlling your temper and your behaviors, then I can't stay here. And can you now see that your mom loved your dad like you loved the man that was in your life, and it's not so easy to walk away?
Yeah, I do. I'm seeing that, and that's why I know I'm not quite done, and I know that people will judge me on that, but I know that there's something I'm still supposed to, that's how I feel, and that's why I need a clarification, because I know I'm growing with this man, as nobody can see what I can see, but I know what I'm getting out of it, and
right.
I know that until I learn, I'm not going to be successful in relationships.
And that's why if there's unfinished business here, and maybe you need to see, this man doesn't change, by the way, that you're with, I mean, that you're talking about. He is who he is, and he's, you know, a manipulator, and he's going to do the same stuff. But you may need to give him another chance. You may need to see it. You may need to get your heart ripped out one more time before you can walk away. It did start out as soulmate, by the way, but soulmate love equals peace and joy. Once it becomes pain, that's toxic love. Toxic love is pain. And so if you think it's, you know, if you thought it was possible to bring this up to soulmate love, you could give it a try, but you're only responsible for your behavior. And if he becomes abusive again, all bets are off. No excuses for the abuse. And, you know, that's something, he is going to come back. I see that in this picture. But there's also a card that's a man that doesn't really change. And
he's an alcoholic. I know that.
He's an alcoholic?
Yeah, but I guess I just know that I need to change some things in me, and I know that it's going to be with him, so that it doesn't bother me anymore. And so my question is, am I being guided?
You are being very divinely guided, because your father engineered what's called a waking dream with this man for you to see exactly what your mother went through. She fell in love with a man who had a sex addiction. Doesn't matter that this man doesn't have a sex addiction, the man you're with, he's an alcoholic. An addiction is an addiction. That your mom couldn't fix him, she couldn't rescue him, she couldn't save him, and she loved him. And the point is, you saw it very clearly as a child. That love was killing her. That was toxic. Eventually, thank God, that, you know, the universe took your father from her. But did your mom ever replace him with a higher love?
Nope.
And that's the bad thing she never showed you, because what she showed you is love starts out looking good, then it gets crappy, and then there's nothing else. So, you know, what you need to know, and the reason that you've been guided to this radio show of all radio shows, is you will be granted a soulmate love. What your mom had was soulmate love that became toxic. Most love is really mediocre. It's neither really soulmate and it's not toxic. It's just sort of taking each other for granted. Do you know a couple that you could, you know, admire, that love each other, heart, soul, mind, and body, and bring out the best in each other? Do you have a couple you could see? Because it's really rare. So if you don't, and Nicole's laughing because, you know, it's hard to name a couple. Okay. You know what I mean? That's the scary part. So how can we know there's something better when nobody's ever seen it? So
that's true.
So
and
that's
all my siblings struggle in relationships.
And that's why I am telling you soulmate love exists, and that you're
okay.
going to work on healing yourself so that you can be granted a higher love. If you need to replay some of this, it's not over, it's not finished, do it. But if it becomes toxic, you know, and that means violence or violent words, I would advise you to end it immediately.
So the last question, because I know you have a bunch of callers, but do I allow him to come to me? Is he going to come to me, or am I going to have to go to him?
I would advise you not to go to him because, you know, you need to see if he comes back to you. And he is going to, by the way. This man is coming back.
Okay.
Again, he's not coming back healed, but you may need to see that one more time.
Yeah, I just need to end it not the way I did. I need to learn that last lesson. I know that. I feel it in my whole heart and soul. And you know what? You've helped me a lot. I've listened to a lot of your shows, and just it's just amazing. I was led. I was just looking through it, and I came across it. So I really want to thank you.
And that's divinely guided. And anyone who comes to me either for a reading, stumbles across my book or this website or, you know, the blog, radio, has to be divinely guided. It's not really all advertised. You just have to be guided to it.
Yeah, and it was a book that I came across, and then that's how little by little I started. So I want to thank you because I'm here where I am at. Yes, it was my work, but a lot of it has come from what you have said. So I appreciate it.
Okay.
And I
And good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole, what state are we moving along to now?
We are going over to Virginia, and we are going to speak to Denise. Now, Denise actually had a reading with you, Cindy.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, she did. It was a few months ago. And basically she just needs a little bit of validation about that because you had predicted something in your reading with her regarding, you know, her love interest at the time. And you said that he was going to come back, and he did. And you also said that he was going to run, and he did. And we both decided that we hate it when you're right about these things.
And I, you know, and can I just say something in my defense? I'm the messenger. Don't shoot me. I'm, like, the nicest person. I want to tell everybody, yeah, he's coming back with roses and kisses and lingerie for you. You know, but, you know, I hate telling that, except when it's been predicted, it lets you know there's not much you can do about it. This is the way it is.
Yep.
And let me talk to Denise, because I do remember Denise, by the way.
You do remember Denise?
Oh, sure.
All right, good. She basically just needs to know if it's really, truly over, Cindy. So here we go. Denise, you are on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Cindy.
I'm so sorry that I was right. I would, you know, I have no problem being wrong. You know what I mean? Especially when it's about that. But
I just wanted to validate the information you had said, because I remember you telling me that we weren't physically connected anymore, and I kind of felt that happening, you know, and I kind of realized that throughout the relationship we are telepathically connected.
Exactly.
And I kind of feel that slipping away and the emotional slipping away. I need to know if it's truly over between us. Is there somebody
else? Well, no relationships are ever truly over. I mean, they always go on in a soul plane. They're all eternal because they have affected us. So I don't think, you know, you need to totally ever eradicate somebody. You know, sometimes we need to know we can go on loving somebody on a soul plane, you know, but we can't have them in our lives because they're just unhealed and it's not going to work. With this guy, he's not over. I mean, I see him coming back, but it's just more of the same. And what I see for you, though, is a new love on the horizon. And that means that you're going to have to not become a closet commitment phobic, because once you've had this sort of commitment phobic who comes close, runs away, comes close, this yo-yo effect, we get scared ourselves. And so the universe is giving you a little time to heal and stand on your own two feet. I see that new soulmate, really beautiful love on the horizon, and this other guy resurfacing because you are telepathic. And you did start out as soulmates. And by the way, soulmates are very telepathic. And most of us are afraid of soulmate love because if we love somebody heart, soul, mind, and body, and God forbid they die in us, we're going to be devastated. So we're spending our whole life trying to avoid the devastation of someone dying on us, which is ridiculous because love never dies. If you can commune telepathically with your soulmate on earth, what makes you think you can't commune with him if he were to die? I mean, we can always commune with the dead. It's a pretty simple thing to do. But what's going on here is he will resurface, particularly when he senses you're moving away from him. What you're going to do, and this is what I advise every person out there listening, and boy, we've got, you know, thousands of people in the same boat as you. I mean, it's like the boat's getting bigger every day. And pretty much what I would advise you to say is, when he calls, what is your intention in calling? Is it to stick 2 feet in this relationship, commit to me heart, soul, mind, and body, and let's see what's there? If not, then I can't talk to you anymore. And just don't give these people any wiggle room. No, you can't wiggle in and say, well, now I think maybe I want this, and let's see, let's try again, and maybe this. There's no maybe anymore. You know, you either stick in 2 feet in here or you're not. It's like simple. It's like yes or no. And in doing that, the people begin to realize you've got their number, and he can't keep doing this to you. It's not a lack of love here, Denise. It's fear. He's afraid to commit. He's not rejecting you personally. He's rejecting the higher love you're offering, which would mean you have to heal your issues. And this man doesn't want to heal his issues. You're aware of that.
Yes, I'm aware of that now. And I feel like I've been trying for so long to get him to be aware of his issues, and he takes it as me telling him there's something wrong with him. And I realize everybody has issues at some point in their lives. And I feel like almost that I was supposed to be a mentor for him or to provide some inspiration for him to move forward in his life. And he doesn't want to do that. And he keeps attacking me for showing him maybe a healthier way to be or to love in a different way. And that's what's got me crazy, is that it's hard for me to walk away if I can't fix him or fix the situation.
And again, what was channeled to me is, what makes us think we can fix anybody? You're not fixing this man. Even he's got to fix himself. And if they're resistant, if they're, you know, sometimes the higher we try to vibrate, the higher we try to heal our issues, a person who doesn't want to heal will try to push all our crazy buttons. My ex-husband did that to me like crazy. You know, he would say, oh, you're so enlightened, and in 2 seconds I'd be out of my mind. And I began to realize that he wanted to keep me unhappy and miserable, and that we're responsible for our behavior. And, you know, you are the person that the more you're trying to heal and go to a higher place, he's trying to drag you down. And
right.
At that point, it's just not going to work. And the only thing that may sometimes bring a commitment phobic back to us is if we have the courage to take 2 feet out of the relationship and say, unless you're ready to heal, work on your issues, I can't do this anymore. There's no contact between us, no texting, no emailing, no phone calls. And in the person missing you, he might seek some therapy or a 12-step program, whatever they need, because they realize their behavior has cost them the love of their life. And, you know, what's been channeled to me and what I've noticed in when I'm driving in the car is this. Out of every 5 songs on the radio, 3 are about the love that got away. How scary is that? One's about toxic love, and the other's about a good love. So it's pretty scary if you're realizing that most soulmates are not making it. Toxic love is staying around too long. But if you really desiring a soulmate who's a healed man, and if he can't be that, so be it. And, you know, the universe gives a little time to see what he's doing. They may not bring another person to you for a full year waiting to see, you know, if this man is giving thoughts to his angels and guides and telling them, boy, I'm trying to heal, I want her back. They'll hold off bringing another soulmate. But once it becomes clear this person's not healing for any, you know, reasonable amount of time, 5, 10, 20 years, 20 lifetimes, they will not have him, you know, in your life and will bring another soulmate to you. So that's just how it works. So, you know, he's not out of the picture, if that's the question. But do you want him back with the toxic love? Or, you know, sometimes people say, well, we won't do toxic anymore. How about we do a mediocre love affair? Well, you still don't have to heal being mediocre.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I feel like I'm trying to reason with him and give him what he wants, like that non-committed. But then I feel so torn about it at the same time because I feel like I want it so much. But I know he's not going to give that to me right away. So, you know, do I just move forward and look for that higher love? Because I feel like I am ready for it.
Well, you can pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you, and you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. Put no name on it. If it's this man, so be it. If it's not, the universe will bring you on the other soulmate. So you can't lose. You'll be granted a higher love if that's what you want. If you're so desperately clinging to this man, well, then you can have him, but again, it's going to be toxic love, and that's not really what you're signing on for. Not for the long haul.
Right.
Well, good luck to you, Denise, and keep us informed. Let us know. And,
I will.
And I would like to hear you call 6 months from now saying, you were right, my soulmate arrived. That's the kind of right I want to be.
All right. Thank
good
you
luck
so
to
much.
You.
Right.
Nicole, you'll get a kick out of this. At least once a week, somebody will call and go, oh, my God, you're right. Oh, my God, I have the best love life. Oh, my God. And I'm like,
I say that all the time. You were right about me from day one, Cindy.
I know, but I like to hear, like, the really good I'm right, you know?
even with me, you were the bad kind of right first, and you were the good kind of right later.
Oh, good.
So you're all good.
Good. Good. I don't want to just be the bearer of bad news.
No, you're not just a bearer of bad news, because you know what? You told me exactly what I had to do to get to where I wanted to go, you know, and I was just like, oh, that's it. And, you know, she must be wrong. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, shit, she was right. Oh, shit, she was right. Oh, shit, she was right. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll do it her way. And then, you know, that's when I kind of opened up my mind a little bit, and I stopped being so obstinate. And then I was like, so the lady.
And what I like about Nicole is before she makes a mistake, she calls me now for a reading. She doesn't wait till after she screws it all up, you know.
No, whenever I need to, I make two phone calls, Cindy. My first one is to you, and my second one is to my very, very good friend, Carol, who is also extremely gifted, okay? And, you know, I kind of like see what you get, see what she gets, and I'm going to honestly tell you that 9.5 out of 10 times, you will say something to me in the morning, I will speak to her in the afternoon, and she will tell me the exact same thing.
Well, that's because, you know, your angels and guides scream in my ear and her ear. So we can't miss the info.
Thank God for them. All right. We are moving along now, Cindy. We are going to – what state shall we go to? All right. You know what? We're going to St. Louis, actually.
Where are we going?
All right. We're going to go over to St. Louis now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're getting all over the place tonight.
Wow.
Okay, and now this is going to be a three-parter for you, so get ready.
Okay, good.
We're going to speak to Jerry. Okay. Now, Jerry's son is going back to Florida for legal issues,
mm-hmm.
and she wants to know if her son has actually learned his lessons or whether or not this is going to drag out. Secondly, she had a marriage end on her back in 1996 that she's never really put it to bed. You know, there were a lot of extenuating circumstances around then. You know, and she's never really been able to let go of a couple of things, and she needs to know how she can heal from that and what she needs to do to let that go. And thirdly, and this is to use her words, she would love to be able to let this go so that she can actually, you know, have a wonderful and sexy romantic relationship come into her life, and she wants to know.
Well,
you know,
I like this lady or what?
Oh, my God, she's got everything. I literally told her, I was like, wow, I'm like, you know, I'm going to have to really be picky about how I word this one. All right, so we're going to cruise over to St. Louis and speak to Jerry.
Wow, Jerry.
Hi.
Hello,
hi,
you're on
Jerry.
There?
Now, interesting
I'm so glad
enough,
I got through.
Your questions are more related than you think. You know, your husband and your ex-husband we're talking about?
Yes.
And he's the father of your son that we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. The questions are more linked than you think. The lessons you didn't learn from your ex-husband, you're going to learn through your son. And that's that you can't fix somebody. They have to fix themselves. And that you have to sometimes leave people where they fall. And also that you can't be loyal to people who don't deserve your loyalty. And have you learned that people do lie and don't change? Because it's the same lesson. If what you didn't learn from your husband fully, your son will teach you. And part of it is we have to stop carrying everybody's cross. And I think I like the way you're saying, did he learn this time, your son? Because it is him who has to learn. it's not you who has to learn those lessons. It's very hard when we're a mom to not carry our children's cross. It's our instinct to carry it. But, you know,
true.
The symbolism of Jesus on the cross is that he's the only martyr. He carries the crosses, not you. This is his child. It's God's child. And when Mary had to watch her son carrying the cross, did Mary carry his cross? No, she wiped his sweat. We're allowed to wipe our children's sweat. But there's a point in which they're a certain age. And how old is your son now?
He's almost 28.
Okay, because that's what I needed to hear, because you're going to laugh at this. The age of 13, the bar mitzvah age, now I'm a man, now I'm a woman, was when God used to say, now you're a man, now you're a woman, now you're responsible for your behavior. In America, what was channeled to me is God's extended that age to 25, because our kids are 25 going on 15.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a man, and he will learn now. You know, he will have to take the full responsibility of every action has a reaction. And
yes.
He's going into court. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, for repeated issues, and they all stem back to addictions.
Right. And
I have a question I'm going to throw in that I didn't speak about. I feel that so much of this is traced back to when his dad physically left when he was about 14 and left with another wife and really hasn't been in contact. I'm not excusing that, but is there anything that you see that can heal that situation?
Again, he's over the age of 25. Knock it off what your mommy and daddy did. You have to stop feeling guilty. Excuse me.
Okay.
You have to stop feeling guilty that you screwed up your kid. And what was channeled to me is you as a mom are responsible for 15% of how your son turned out. That's it. His father is 15%. That's all. His father is 15%. I don't care what his father did. 15% over the course of a lifetime. 20% is our culture, which is a drug-infested culture. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
50% is their own karma. Some children come with a history of addiction. Your son has a history of addiction. And what you're going to do is say, it wasn't my intention to screw you up. I'm sure it wasn't your father's intention. But at this point, you're a man, and you're going to take responsibility for your own addictions. And I had to teach my daughter when she was a teenager, you'll learn. You'll take what you want to do, and you're going to pay for it, not me. If you're going to be, you know, do drugs, you're going to drink, you're going to pay for it with your life, your freedom. Every person who ever loved you is going to walk out on you. Your life, maybe, but I'm not going to pay for it. You will pay for it. And at this point, when we stop feeling guilty that we're the ones who screwed up our kids, and it's so funny because, you know, we always think we're the ones screwing them up. But if I remember, most of us didn't have the best parents, and we finally took responsibility for our lives. Some very bad parents can have very good kids. Some very good parents can have very bad kids.
I've always said I didn't take credit for my children's successes, but this is a little bit harder. And I'll give you another fact that is kind of bizarre. I had him 9 months and 3 days after I had a tubal, and I thought I was all done with having children. I was on the pill up until then. What was that all about?
Again, he was definitely wanting to be born into your family, and let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. Because he has a history of you not being a very good father in his last lifetime, and this was the father that he was meant to have. You were the good news, Mommy. In other words, he was going to have that father no matter what. He slipped in under the radar. Well, I'd rather have this mom than the woman he's going to run off with 14 years later. So, like, let me come now with this lady. In other words, that was going to be his father no matter what. You're the good news.
Okay.
So instead of feeling, you know, why is this all about? You were the good news. And if you would learn not to feel guilty and manipulative, and at this point, allow your son to take full responsibility for his behaviors, that's going to make all...
How did I so miss that his father was going to leave yet another set of children and take off? Or am I just slow?
well, I think, you know, what you didn't see with that is something that a lot of people don't see. We just don't realize that people lie a lot and that they can be very deceptive and that they have addictions that we can't fix. So You know, if you could get the blinders off, you know, pray for your son. Pray to God this thing. If he goes in, and I'll tell you this much, if he goes in the courtroom trying to lie to the judge like he's healed, but he has every intention of going getting stoned as soon as he walks out the door, he's going to get the full impact of the, you know, the law, that he will end up going to jail, and that might be the best thing for him at this point.
Oh, and we've been to jail so many times.
I mean, he may go
them.
Again, you know, and
yeah, I
this
think
is
he will.
This is the point. Let him fall where he falls. And
yeah, I
you,
can't stop
and you
it.
Pray
I just,
that God will give him a wake-up call in prison or another kind of a wake-up call. And at this point, you know, free yourself. You know, if you're a good enough mother, that's all you can be.
I'm a wonderful grandmother. I really
okay,
excel at that.
And a sexy
now,
one. And to answer your third question, because it's really overtime, and we've got to cut
so
the show off. But
gotcha.
Yes.
I was just wondering if there's a relationship upcoming. Any real quick answer?
What was the question? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I'm sorry. Is there a relationship upcoming? Do you have a
Yes. And part of it is just let go of your ex, because he's never changing. That man is never going to change.
Thank you so much for your time and your intuition.
And please call us and let us know what happens, Nicole. I think we've got to wind up the show. Thank you for tonight. I know we had a gazillion calls. We'll try to get you the next time. Next week we are taking off on October 7th, and we will see you the following Thursday at 10. Or we might be changing our time, Nicole. You'll let me know.